Well, welcome to a brand new episode of Guitar Talk with me, Jimmy Warren. I'm your host, and we've got a great episode for you today. I'm sure it's somebody that a lot of people have been asking for over the last four seasons of Guitar Talk. And so we're gonna dive into that in just a minute, and I'm going to tell you who that is. But first, I want to let you know that on Spotify, you can subscribe to Guitar Talk with Jimmy Warren. It's $2.99 a month. And what's different about it than getting the free version? Well, you get the episodes early. You get bonus content. You get exclusive content. You get behind-the-scenes content. You'll get some interviews that won't be on the regular Guitar Talk. So, you know, this is one of those episodes that has extra content, behind-the-scenes stuff, because this was done live in person at a theater with the artist. And today the artist is this guy right here. Yeah, Yngwie Malmsteen signed the album for me. I sat down with him a couple weeks back. Now, this is a guy that doesn't do that very often, or hardly at all. He doesn't do a whole lot of interviews. He surely doesn't do a lot at shows. And so, you know, we're very thankful that he was, you know, gracious enough to give us a little bit of time. This is not a normal episode for us. Normally, you know, they go, you know, anywhere from a half hour to an hour. This is probably a 20-minute episode, 25-minute episode, simply because of the time that was allotted for him. But it is really cool. I got him to talk about some things that I felt were important. You know, not so much about his new album or the tour that he was on, but, you know, some of the things that, you know, as somebody who was a fan of Malmsteen, somebody that them first four albums, man, were just so badass that I was just taken by this guy, you know, his playing and doing something that nobody else had done at the time. And so it's a pretty cool interview. I think you're really going to enjoy it. So do yourself a favor, sit down, put your feet up, get a nice cool beverage. But before we jump in, make sure that you subscribe to Guitar Talk on Spotify. Make sure that you're following and liking us on social media, including me, Jimmy Warren. And with that all said, let's dive in. Put your feet up, get a nice cool beverage. Enjoy this conversation with the one and only Yngwie Malmsteen right here on Guitar Talk with Jimmy Warren. First thing I want to say is, if you don't mind, there's a few people that have altered the course of guitar, right? Hendrix, Van Halen, and Malmsteen. That's my opinion.
Thank you.
Right? Because you're somebody that came along and did something that nobody else was doing at a time. Nobody else was even thinking about it. And you've maintained an amazing career, you know, as a result of it.
Thank you.
So what is it, if you don't mind me asking, what is it that has made you the person, the player that you are right now? I mean, what did you do?
I was always very sincere about what I was doing, and kind of like almost obsessed, you know, with it.
Yeah.
And I had a very clear vision. I never had, I was never confused about trends or what other people said, and they told me to do this and told me to do that, and I didn't want to do that. I had this very clear, and when I was in Sweden as a little kid, you know,
right.
I was already very active, you know, but there was no market. There was nothing, because it was almost like a socialist country, you know, and if you want to be a musician, you had to go, which I did go to university because they made me do it, but it wasn't a choice.
Yeah.
But you had to, you know, either study to become like a classical musician or play very mainstream stuff, you know.
Yeah.
If you would ever want to try to make it, you know, or to be a studio musician or something like this. And I went completely out left field. I have a cassette tape I've actually found from 1978.
Yeah.
And I wrote on the cassette tape, symphonic heavy metal rock.
Oh, wow.
Because there was nothing called neoclassical.
Right, right.
It was just what I was doing was the Marshall Stacks, but I was playing, you know, Paganini-esque. things. Yeah. You know, I never liked to play verbatim stuff because it's more like an inspiration of Vivaldi, Paganini, Bach. You know, I do play some verbatim stuff, but that was never my thing. You know, and it kind of, if you go back to the beginning of it, it's kind of started with me growing up in a musical family, surrounded by classical music and jazz and everything like this. And I wasn't really interested in it. I was very young, very much younger than the rest of everybody else. And I got my first guitar on my fifth, actually my first guitar was my fourth birthday, but it was like a, it looked like this.
Yeah.
But it was a toy, you know. And then on my fifth birthday, I got a real guitar, acoustic guitar. And my sixth birthday, I got a trumpet and then so on. And they gave me piano lessons and everything. I didn't want to do anything to do with it. And then I saw Hendrix smash up a guitar on TV.
Yeah.
When I was seven, because it was on the news, he died, the day Jim Hendrix died, that was it. And they just showed that Monterey Pop thing. And I said, oh, I want to do that. So I started playing guitar, and then immediately I became infatuated by the instrument. I put pickups on it and everything like this. And my older brother was already kind of, you know, he played everything, guitar, drums, bass, you name it, you know, violin.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, this kid's getting a little too good. So he started buying nice guitars, right? But he was out playing around with girls or my motorcycles or whatever. I was playing these guitars, you know. And eventually I got some good guitars. And, you know, that's how it started. So it was all rock and roll. But when I realized rock and roll is based on five notes, I got a little frustrated with that.
Yeah.
So I started listening to, my mother had thousands of records. I just lifted one out. I remember it was a concerto, Harpsichord Concerto in D minor by Johann Sebastian Bach.
Mm-hmm.
I said, whoa, this is some cool stuff, you know, because inverted notes and suspended and pad-pell notes and stuff like this. And so I started listening to that and played it through the Marshalls, you know, when I was just a little kid.
Yeah. The other thing, though, that you did that wasn't around then, at least I don't think it was the scallop fretboard.
Yeah, but that's kind of like, because I was, when I was a kid, I was always doing things with my hands. Like, I would build, like, you know, back then you buy a box of sticks, yeah, and you build a ship from it, you know?
Yeah.
You look at the paper and you bend the sticks and you build it, you know, from nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was kind of into that. I was building models and I was always messing with stuff. So I wasn't scared to do woodwork, you know, and paintwork and stuff like this. For instance, I got a funny story. When I was about 12 or 13 years old, I did a gig. And I had a black strap. I was wearing black.
Yeah.
They didn't have video cameras then, you know. It was more like, maybe they did, but we didn't have. They were Super 8 film.
Yeah.
So they filmed that show. And I looked at it, and all you could see was this white pick guard. You couldn't see the shape of the guitar.
Yeah.
So the first thing I did, I just took everything off and went to a hardware store and I painted it to this color, because I wanted to show up. So I wasn't afraid to do things to the guitars, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would install things and all that stuff. So I took a small apprentice work as a luthier, and this old lute came in from the 17th century. It had a carved wood out like that. I just thought it looked cool.
Yeah.
So I did it on one of my really cheap crap ones, you know.
Yeah.
And I strung it up, and oh wow, it can bend. Yeah. It's really cool. And started doing it on all of them. And this is now the Fender one, you know, when it comes like this already.
Right. And so, I mean, that's been an iconic guitar to so many people now for a long time. In that.
Me too.
Well, one of the things that I notice is that you now have a masterclass on True Fire.
Yeah.
Which is really, really cool. But do you ask yourself, do you pinch yourself and go, well, I'm friggin' Malmsteen. I've been teaching a masterclass for decades. You know what I mean? Because every album is a masterclass. But how is this, you know, being received? And how do you like the fact that now you're partnered with them and you have this coming out?
As far as I know, it's going well. I have, because it came out just as we hit the road. So yeah. I've been really talking to Tony and the guys up there.
Yeah.
But they're really cool guys to work with and everything, you know. But the thing is that you talked about pinching yourself. The thing is, I'm extremely grateful person, you know.
Yeah.
And I thank God for all of the gifts, you know, in my life, which is basically, you know, everything, my beautiful family, you know, everything, my, you know, how everything has just turned out. Because I always went straight for it, you know. I never really bent my principles for it, you know. I mean, maybe in the 80s was a little bit bending, you know, but that's what I'm the most proud of, you know, the fact that I can still go out and do these shows and everything and make records after all these years, you know.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, the first four albums you put out, I saw you 14 times over those first four albums. Absolutely freaking amazing. Just completely changed my world. Now, I've done over 500 interviews. I've talked to some of the greatest guitar players in the world, and I gotta tell you, there's quite a few people out there that refer to you as the guy who inspired them to, you know, pick up the guitar and to start playing in that. How does that make you feel?
It's great. I don't really think much about it, you know.
Yeah.
No. I mean, because I remember from the beginning, I was always being knocked, you know.
Yeah.
When I was a kid in Sweden, they would always say, ha, 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 he's never going to make it. Look at it. What is he doing? What's he doing? He's not playing AC/DC songs.
Yeah.
I've always been kind of like, always gotten that end of it. And it's like water for duck, you know.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. When, here in life, if you find what you truly love, if you find what your true meaning is, that passion is never gonna go away, number one, and it's not gonna get affected for what other people say or think. Therefore, I don't really think much about things like that.
Yeah.
It's obviously very flattering.
Yeah.
You know, it's obviously very flattering when, you know, you hear that. But at the same time, I've heard so many bad things too. So I don't take either one to heart, really.
Right.
I'm an extremely hard judge on myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't allow myself to do something half. You know, it's got to be all the way or nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like why I'm still doing this. I'm going out on stage tonight.
Right.
I'm going to have a lot of things that I didn't have worked out, you know. I'm improvising everything. And it's all about like a wily coyote jumping over a cliff, you know. So we'll see what happens, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's what I think about. You know, I don't rest on my laurels. I don't go, oh, well, I made Rising Force 1984. Oh, no. Listen, I wrote Black Star when I was 17 years old. I played the drums and bass and keyboards on it.
Yeah.
That's how I sent the Guitar Player magazine when I was 17 years old, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to me, that was then, and that's great, boom.
Right.
You know, but now is now, here's what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
So I don't think about those things, you know.
Yeah.
I'm only as good as I am now.
Right. Yeah. But you know, to be able to say that you've had this kind of longevity, that you've maintained, you know, your profile and your passion and your fan base all these years, I mean, that's what every guitar player or every band aspires to do, is to reach that kind of pinnacle that they can say, okay, I've been doing this forever and I'm in love with it and I'm passionate about it, but yet still maintain, you know, the fan base and the following and the whole, I mean, it's amazing to me. I gotta tell you, I saw you when I was in my early 20s. I'm 58 now. I've been a fan the whole time. And
thank you.
Yeah, and it's amazing what you've done on the guitar is flattering. I mean, it's absolutely amazing, you know. And
thank you.
I mean, I know that's not a question, and I know you probably get that from a million people, but as from a guitar player and as somebody that does nothing but interview people like you, I gotta say, man, this is a bucket list for me. Because
I'm glad we got it done. You know.
Yeah. Well, I know you're getting ready to play and that, and I don't want to, you know, keep you and stuff like that. But what are people? I mean, one thing that you just said a minute ago is that you're going to go out there, and some of the stuff you're going to do is improvise. You know, and I find that fascinating.
It's all improvised, all of it.
I find that fascinating.
And you know. Right now, after I'm doing this, I'm gonna bring you guys in my room and I'm gonna say, we gotta put a set list together. Not same set list as last time.
Yeah.
We put the set list all over the stage and I'm gonna go up on stage and I'm gonna play a different set list.
Yeah.
From that one.
Wow.
So they're like, they don't know what's gonna happen. I don't know what's gonna happen either.
Right.
And that's the way I like it.
I think that's amazing. I love that. I really do, because
that's the only way I can do this.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I won't be able to.
We get to experience something that we would never experience if we weren't here tonight.
Yes, that's actually
really
true.
That's really cool. Yeah. I tell you what, man, I appreciate you know, this opportunity.
Thank you very much.
I really do, man.
Thank you.
You know, and I wish you the best tonight.
Thank you. I did give my best.
And if I can... Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Yngwie Malmsteen. It was an absolute pleasure to spend some time with him. I want to thank him and his whole team for being so gracious, Emilio and April and Steve and everybody that helped make this happen. I really appreciate it. Do yourself a favor. Go see Malmsteen on his new tour and check out his new album. Make sure that you're like, following, and sharing him wherever you possibly can in that. And, you know, until next week, right here on Guitar Talk, I'm Jimmy Warren. I'll see you around. Peace out.